Labor Day deals are looking good at Lowe's. Save $10 on 1 gallon cans and $50 on 5 gallon pails of select interior paint via rebate. Plus, get two 2.5 quart or 3 quart Mums for just $8. A fresh look and savings? Even better. Labor Day deals are on now at Lowe's, in store and online. Valid through 9/9 while supplies last. Mum sizes vary by location and exclude Alaska and Hawaii. See store at Lowe's.com for more details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
For years, the working theory was clean. One killer, one stretch of coastline, one monster hiding in plain sight in a Long Island suburb while bodies piled up along Ocean Parkway. Rex Heuermann was supposed to be the answer, the architect who allegedly spent 3 decades murdering women and dumping them like construction debris. Case closed, justice pending, narrative complete. Except here's the thing about clean narratives. They almost never survive contact with the facts. And 3 weeks into 2026, the Gilgo Beach case is starting to fracture in ways that should make everyone pay attention, including the people who thought they had figured this out. On January 13th, Judge Timothy Mazzei finally set a trial date right after Labor Day, he said. Come hell or high water. Those were his exact words. Now, you don't talk like that unless you're a little sick of waiting. You know, and this has been a little while. A little while in the making. It'll be 3 years since Heuermann was arrested outside his Midtown Manhattan office, cuffed while allegedly asking officers, "What is this about?" And it's a mistake. 3 years of hearings, motions, DNA arguments, and a case file that could fill a storage unit. Both sides have confirmed there's no plea deal on the table. The thing is going to trial, all 7 murder charges. And whatever happens in that courtroom is going to rewrite how we understand this case, which is really an accumulation of multiple cases, and maybe how we understand DNA evidence in criminal law going forward. But before any of that happens, Heuermann's defense team decided to throw a grenade. The night before the deadline for final pretrial challenges, they filed a 178-page motion. And this isn't some procedural box checking. This is a full-scale assault on the prosecution's case, challenging 20 search warrants, demanding suppression of statements Heuermann allegedly made at the arrest, and asking the court to throw out one of the murder charges entirely. Let's talk about that murder charge, shall we? And while we do, be sure to join in our conversation on YouTube or on our Substack channel. In the comments on YouTube, Substack, the link is in the description. It's on your screen if you're watching us on YouTube right now. It's hiddenkillers.substack.com. It's free to join right now, and you can have our conversation directly with me right there. So wherever you like to participate, YouTube or Substack, please do jump in. Love to get your thoughts. So let's talk about that murder charge. Like I said, Sandra Costello, 1993. She's the oldest case on the indictment, the one that stretches Heuermann's alleged killing spree back 30 years. And according to the defense, the prosecution's entire case linking him to her death rests on a single hair found on her outer shirt, not on her body, not in a car, not in his home, on the outside layer of clothing she was wearing when she died. Defense attorney Danielle Koyish laid it out bluntly. No eyewitness testimony, no surveillance footage, no digital evidence, no phone records, no fingerprints, no confession, no murder weapon, just one hair. But let's also put it bluntly. Surveillance footage, digital evidence, phone records, that shit didn't exist 30 years ago. It wasn't a thing. So, if you're the defense, that's an opportunity. If you're the Costello family, that's 3 decades of waiting for answers that might still not come. All hanging literally by a hair. Now, here's where this gets legally interesting and potentially precedent setting. The way investigators identified Heuermann in the first place was by pulling DNA from pizza crust that he threw in a Manhattan trash can Standard practice, right? You abandon your garbage, you abandon your expectation of privacy. That's been the law. Probably will be. But as defense attorneys do, they're going to argue it. They're going to say, no, it's something different. They're saying, yes, Heuermann abandoned the pizza crust, but he never consented to abandoning his entire genetic blueprint. DNA tells us everything about us, Koyish told reporters, who we are, what we are, and what we are going to become. It's an incredible amount of private information. They're asking the court to expand Fourth Amendment protections to cover genetic material. Never mind that that tells us who you are, what you've become, because there's a hair of you on a dead sex worker on a beach. That kind of tells us all of that. But they're saying you wouldn't have found that out if there was a rule in place that said you couldn't. Defense attorney logic. And if that argument works, it doesn't just affect the case. It rewrites rules for how law enforcement can collect DNA evidence in New York going forward. The science is outpacing the courts, and someone's going to have to draw a new line. But the defense isn't just playing legal theory. They're pointing fingers specifically at a man named John Bitterloff, or Bitterolf, a convicted killer already sitting in prison for two Long Island murders in the same era. Same geography, same victim profile. The defense wants all discovery related to Bitterolf's prosecution. They want the court to consider that maybe, just maybe, some of these killings attributed to Heuermann were actually someone else's work. And they're not pulling it out of thin air either. Defense attorney Michael Brown noted that former prosecutor Robert Bianculva had previously said Bitterolf's handiwork was probably responsible for Costello's death. So when the defense says, we think Mr. Bitterolf may have been responsible for some of these, they're citing statements from the prosecution's own former people. And then there's the Dykes arrest. This one should bother everyone who assumed Gilgo Beach was a one-killer story. In December, Andrew Dykes, a 66-year-old Florida resident, 20-year Army veteran, was arrested and charged with the 1997 murder of Tanya Denise Jackson. You might know her as Peaches. The same investigators gave her that name for years because of a heart-shaped peach tattoo on her chest. They couldn't identify her. They only had the tattoo. They found parts of her body at Hempstead Lake State Park. And then more on Ocean Parkway in 2011. Right there with the other Gilgo Beach victims. For years, the assumption was that Peaches was part of the same body count. Same killer, same dumping ground, same nightmare. But it wasn't Heuermann. DNA genealogy pointed to Dykes, the man with no known connection to the other cases, living 1,000 miles away. Defense attorney Michael Brown made the point directly. Law enforcement have all insinuated that Mr. Heuermann was responsible for all of this. And now we find out that Mr. Dykes has been indicted for that other crime. One beach, multiple killers. The tidy narrative just got very untidy, but it certainly doesn't take away the ones that do connect to Heuermann. It doesn't stop there, though. In November, DNA testing officially cleared Heuermann of the death of Colleen McNamee, another Long Island victim from the early 90s. Bitterolf from prison had actually tried to pin that one on Heuermann. It didn't work. The DNA didn't match, so now we're looking at a situation where Dykes is charged with Peaches, Bitterolf is convicted of McNamee, and one other, and Heuermann faces 7. 3 different men, overlapping timelines, same hunting ground. The question prosecutors have to answer isn't just, did Rex Heuermann kill these 7 women? It's, how do you prove a pattern when the pattern might include other predators working the same territory? That's the mess the defense is trying to create, and frankly, they didn't have to work that hard. The Dykes arrest did half the job for him. Now, to be clear on this, the prosecution isn't backing down. D.A. Ray Tierney says he's confident He's got whole genome sequencing, the first time that technology has been admitted in a New York State trial. He's got 9 hairs across 6 victims that are allegedly linked directly to Heuermann. He's got computer files reportedly found in Heuermann's home containing notes on how to carry out killings and allegedly how to improve future ones. And a little manifesto there. He's got cell phone data. He's got burner phone records. And the geographic reality that Heuermann's Massapequa Park home sits convenient to every dump site. When all the evidence is woven together, Tierney said one piece of evidence proves evidence against multiple victims. That's the prosecution's theory. It's not about any single hair or any single case. It's about the totality, the web. The timeline from here is pretty straightforward. Prosecution responds to the defense motion by March 3rd. Defense replies by March 17th. And then, come hell or high water, trial begins in September. Heuermann will walk into that courtroom facing 7 counts of murder, the possibility of life without parole, and the weight of a case that's been building since bodies started turning up along Ocean Parkway more than 15 years ago. He's been sitting in solitary confinement 23 hours a day since his arrest. Family visits, law library access, and whatever's going through his head, he's not sharing it. His lawyers say he wants to go to trial. He wants to fight. He maintains his innocence. For over a decade, Gilgo Beach represented a specific kind of horror. The idea that one predator could operate in the shadows of Long Island, killing with impunity, while the system failed to connect the dots. And when Heuermann was arrested, it felt like the answer had finally arrived. The monster had a face, an address, a profession. He designed buildings by day and allegedly destroyed lives by night. Story complete. But the truth is turning out to be uglier and more complicated than that. Not one monster. A hunting ground that may have attracted several. Not a single failure of the system, a decades-long collapse that let multiple predators operate in overlapping spaces without anyone putting the picture together until DNA technology finally caught up. Rex Heuermann may be guilty of everything they say. He may be guilty of some of it. Or his defense may find enough cracks in the evidence to curate the doubt that sets him free. We won't know until September, but one thing is already clear. The simple story is dead. And the families of 11 sets of remains found along that stretch of Ocean Parkway that were once people are still waiting for the whole truth. However many killers it takes to tell it. Let's continue this conversation off the air in the comments section on either YouTube or our Substack. Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. That's what you search on YouTube or Substack. Hiddenkillers.substack.com is our address to go over there. The link is also in the description. Love for you to weigh in and give me your thoughts on either of those platforms. If you go to Substack, you can get our reporting a day before everybody else, and it's ad-free. You can binge away right now. Speak directly with me. So if you want to get right to the studio with your comments, Substack's the way to do it. Of course, YouTube also completely open. We'd love to get your thoughts there too. And be sure to press subscribe wherever it is you're listening to our podcast. And hey, if you got a moment and you find this valuable and you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review in the review section on Apple Podcasts, on our podcast page. We do greatly appreciate it. Your kind words help us grow in the rankings and lets other folks discover our reporting. So if you got 5 seconds, couple words, thank you in advance. Really do appreciate it. All right. Until next time. I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.